Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
All I know is, you mess with me, you got a problem.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single morning.
Good morning, YouTube.
Thanks for being with us.
We
hope
love
your
YouTubes.
Mornings are off to a great start.
The Big Wood's still in here?
The Big Wood? It's still here. It's still here.
Still laying the Big
still
Wood.
Still here.
Yeah. Last I checked, our woods are still here, exactly. And we got a loaded final hour.
Yes.
We will spring the line at 7:30.
May 8:30.
Thank you. Yeah. Friday brain. 503-864-6326.
I'm still blaming Baltic von Straßenfurt.
Hey, you threw me for a loop, man. I can't pronounce anything anymore. Fake sponsors are rolling in. We will do gambling. This is the first week that records count. This is when we begin.
Well, what I hate about this is you shouldn't count, actually.
I mean, if you don't want me to do it, I won't do it. I'll just do NFL games for next weekend. I'll give you a double whammy of NFL games.
If you want to give me the NFL games, go ahead. But if you dabble in college, it's a minus. It's a minus for you.
I get minus points if
That's
I do
ridiculous.
College games.
You're good at college. Stop with this whole, like, I don't actually gamble these picks. It's like, so what? But you would pick it if you could.
We have the same argument every year. And I'm never going to back down because I want to bet the picks that I give. I'm not just a guy that's giving out random, like, oh, I think you should bet on this, this, and this, and this, and this. I'm not actually gambling on it.
Okay, Tom.
I want to be emotionally invested in the picks that I give out for spreading the line. And if I don't actually gamble on them, I don't care if I win or lose.
Yeah, but see, I disagree with that.
I don't care.
If you made three college picks this weekend, even if you didn't gamble.
And I go 1-2, I'm not going to care because I didn't lose any money.
Nobody on the station, well, actually, I think of one person. Almost nobody at the station wants to be right on a take more than you.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like to be right on takes.
Right. So if you gave three college picks, you would come in here with your tail between your legs. Damn it. How are you not covering that 9-point spread?
Yeah, see, it's just not the same investment without money involved. It's just not the same for me. But that's
I
all right.
The old account up. It's almost NFL
married
season.
Couple. It's fantastic.
I mean, this is the same. Some of us got standards of gambling
put
around
you
here.
Two
okay?
on a couch with Cam Newton. Let's go.
Let's get to our thoughts and expectations for week one. So what do we want to see from our teams as the season kicks off? I want to read some of these thoughts that are coming at the Vancouver Ford text line about their teams. One Cougar fan is, I'm assuming, trying to voice text us, and Cougs is getting retyped out as Kooks.
Crazies in Pullman.
The Kooks.
The Kooks.
Hey, at least they're being responsible with their texting.
Somebody, the Kook fan said, if the Kooks go 1-10 with the one win against the Huskies, that's a successful season.
Mm.
So just beating Washington. And then he said, but in all seriousness, I hope the Kooks can get 7, 8, 9 wins. It'd be really nice to beat the Huskies in the Apple Cup, not holding my breath for that one. It'd be really cool, and I hope that they have a successful season to show the world, since they are national TV all year, that they are a good program that should be at least in a major conference, and they have a chance to make the playoffs. Oregon State fan chiming in. Beavers really have to win 9+ if they want to prove they belong in a Power 4. I just want to see tough defense, explosive offense, oh, and no fake field goals. It's a good one to put in there.
Hmm.
Cougar fan, I think the reasonable goals would be bowl game, growth from the new quarterback, Mateer. For God's sake, don't Cougar it. Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Husky fan throwing in there, Husky alum, I want to see Jed Fish establish the team's identity, be competitive in all their games, finish above 500. One Duck fan chiming in on the Husky saying, I hope Jed Fish wins 9 games and leaves for Florida, because that would be hilarious, F-U dub. And one very reasonable fan saying, you know what, I just like to see from my teams this weekend, I like the ability to watch them on the Big Ten Network, hashtag thanks Xfinity.
I watched the Big Ten last night.
I did
I can't
too.
Wait to watch it this weekend.
I will have it on this weekend.
Well, fans will know the Ducks women's volleyball team is supposed to have a televised match against Penn State tonight. If you get that, I would
assume. It's blacked out. No, it's blacked out.
Are the non-football games blacked? Like every sporting
event? I thought it was started. All yeah. live sporting it events for those schools.
For those schools are going to be
so
blacked out on Xfinity.
That game, okay. If you don't get that game tonight and you have the Big Ten Network, you're in trouble for Saturday.
Well, breathe easy. Drinkwitz is going to Florida. Fish will be at UW. There's my take. Season's about to start. Drinkwitz going to Florida.
What are we most excited to see from our teams tomorrow?
You know, it's tough to just nail one thing down. I think yours might be, all of them are different because they're such different situations. Oregon State, for me, it's hard to say this for Idaho State specifically, but going into the year, obviously quarterback is massively important. So you want to see what that looks like.
Yep.
Pass rush. I'll give you another the radar one. The defense is supposed to be pretty strong. Bray's still there. Keith Hayward is back now. The offensive line, I think, is going to be kind of the same.
Mm-hmm. Should be good.
Devan's not changing schematically what Mihalicek was doing, and they've got enough experience, I think, as a group there. Receiver's important. It's the pass rush. I haven't felt comfortable or confident in Oregon State pass rush in a long time. And it's not Idaho State that's probably going to prove anything to me. They should be able to get to Idaho State. But in the chance they don't, my God, I will be worried week one. The pass rush could dictate a lot here because if their offense is bogged down at times, and Gunderson, I think, has kind of alluded to, might not be putting a whole lot of points every week.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of defense and running happening. You need a pass rush. Please have a pass rush. Losing Kelsey Howard sucked the way that they did at the end of camp.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I'd like to see a legitimate pass rush. It's probably the most under-the-radar thing for me for Oregon State because quarterback's important, receiver's flashy position, new coaching, all that. It's pass rush.
Okay. Swag, what are you most looking forward to for the Beavs tomorrow?
I want to see with all of the new players on both sides of the ball, and some of this is pass rush, but the ability to make dynamic game-changing plays. Can they hit big plays, explosive plays on both sides of the ball to create momentum, to turn momentum around, those sorts of things? Because if they have to rely on grinding things out or being, you know, without a pass rush, can they get off the field on third down? Can they convert third and eight? Can they flip the field with, you know, just other than, you know, if they're going to have to run the ball 25 times in a half just to generate one touchdown or 10 points, that's a little scary.
Yeah, I think to add to that, like the most interesting thing to me about Oregon State is obviously quarterback and offensive coordinator. Just what do they look like? What are they running? How does he play? How much do they use his legs? How much do they rotate the other two guys in? Or do they wait until garbage time? Like, that's the easy answer
wait
for Oregon State.
Time. What are we doing?
And I would hope that would be the case as well. I'm going to kind of pick up where Swag left off, though. Outside of that obvious one to me for Oregon State, what do they look like at the skill position?
Yeah, receiver's a big one.
They've had a lot of guys. Darius Clemens is the most notable, a highly touted kid who went to Michigan for a year. I believe 1 year,
Westview,
maybe two.
Right.
Local Westview kid. He's coming back now to the Northwest. And so he was a big-time recruit, but only had three catches in 2 years at Michigan. So is that what just a logjam problem? Was it an overhype problem? Was it wasn't ready problem? So how does he fit in? Can he be a wide receiver number one for you? Because as hard as I was at times on DJ last year, in his defense, Oregon State did not have any difference makers on the outside.
Yeah, we had the stats. Like, they weren't separated.
Could not separate at all. And so is that a same problem with a lesser quarterback, and he's just going to be running for his life, and you got to run the ball? Is one of these guys going to pop and make a couple of plays tomorrow that, to your point, like, it doesn't show you any indication of how your season's going to go, but I almost view it like preseason football. Like, if you struggle to do it against Idaho State, I tend to think you will struggle to do it against other teams. And if you do it great against Ohio State, doesn't mean you're going to do it great, or Idaho State, doesn't mean you'll be great all year, but at least it gives you that, like, okay, that at least pauses my concerns for a bit. Now let's go see what we do in week two against San Diego State. But I think wide receiver is my biggest question outside of the obvious one of QB.
By the way, 9 minutes ago, Big Ten Network, Comcast Xfinity customers will miss the debut for Oregon and Washington, and they encourage you to call this number and go to this website. So that's it. You got to find a way to watch that game if you're a Duck and Husky fan, and that's unfortunate.
I had them on YouTube TV last night. I'll have it on YouTube TV this weekend.
You know, Jessamine's prediction for Washington State was much higher than I thought.
Very high on the Cougs.
I don't think she's somebody, I know she does sidelines for them, so yeah, you're rooting for them probably, but I don't know if she's someone that's drinking the Kool-Aid. But she gave some logical stuff. The schedule thing, you don't want to poo-poo it. Washington State didn't lose as much as Oregon State.
Nope.
And if you can keep up with Pac-12 teams, in theory, you should be a little above a lot of Mountain West teams. And so there's a lot of kind of uncertainty. It's the quarterback spot for me because I don't know this quarterback very well. Their quarterback play crumbled last year, and some of that could have been NIL negotiating on the side, knowing he wasn't going to be there.
Yeah.
Their whole season crumbled. And so it's not just the start of the season with UW. It's also not losing any momentum and keeping it running for Dickert, because I still don't know really what to make of them.
Yeah.
Oregon, it's hard to pick one for Oregon. Running backs loaded, receivers loaded, quarterback's a stud. DB and secondary should not be a concern because of what you've developed and what you got in the portal with Savage and Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find something. You stole my kicker. You got an Atticus.
He missed a kick in the scrimmage the other day.
Oh, no. Just don't run 30 yards out. He can't run in.
I mean, Oregon kickers just can't kick. It's something about the water in Eugene. We just can't kick there.
I don't even really know if I'm overly concerned with center, to be really honest with you. We'll keep an eye on it. I guess it'd just be physicality, and you're not going to get that answered with Idaho.
No.
I think they're physical enough, but when you start getting into harder games, that seems to be the thing people point at for Oregon winning the Big Ten. Are they physical enough? Are they strong enough?
And you'll have to be against Ohio State on October 12th.
Certainly will be very tested against that team.
Yeah, I think the easy one, again, for them is just kind of the transition of, is there any hiccups in the passing game? Like, how's the timing with Gabriel and his wide receiver? Shouldn't be an issue against Idaho, but is there any red flag that goes up of, like, you start out 3-for-9 and the timing's a little bit off and your accuracy's a little bit off with a new offense and a new quarterback? So that's the easy one. Shouldn't be the case tomorrow. I think then for Oregon, and this is one of the things that you look at just for, when you're going to blow a team out that badly, which of your young guys seem ready to play? Because depth is one of the arguments that is made for Oregon having a chance to be one of the best teams in the country this year. And it's one of the things that they have lacked in years past when they've gotten to the end of the season. They just haven't had the bodies that they need to replace guys. That's the argument now, is that Lanning, after three recruiting cycles, has built that up. And so at a bunch of different positions on the defensive line, which one of your young freshman, redshirt freshman, sophomore D tackles shows out? At wide receiver, you know about the core four that you have there of like Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson, Trayshawn Holden, and Gary Bryant. But you got that next wave of, like, Jurion Dickey. Does he make plays?
Casper.
Kyle Casper, as Ryan Clark told us. Justice Lowe is a guy that everybody's raved about in camp back-to-back years. Does he have a couple of pop plays?
Sure.
Kenyon Sadiq might be the next Brock Bowers. Does he make some plays in the second half of this game, right? Like, I think that just watching that next wave, to me, there's not going to be a ton to take away from the first half of the Oregon-Idaho game. My eyes will honestly be more on the second half of the Oregon-Idaho game because all of these guys should be playing. Dante Moore is taking the reps with the twos in practice right now. Does he get all your backup quarterback snaps when you're up by 40, or does Austin Ovesad get a series or two? So for the non-Duck fan, there's literally nothing to watch this weekend because they're going to win by 60. But for Duck fans, I do think there's an excitement of just that next group of guys who's ready, because at any point during the season, and they highlighted this in their documentary, it's true of any team. One of these guys is going to get called on, man. Gabriel could go down. Two wide receivers could go down. Offensive linemen could get hurt. Birch could get hurt. It's football. Guys get banged up. They were incredibly healthy, health lucky last year. So what are their young players look like this weekend is what I'm looking for.
I do want to chime in on UW, too, because I'm interested in UW and what they are in year one. And, you know, 3 years ago, this program lost at home to Montana. They scored 7 points. And I know DeBoer got there, and it was like a lightning rod. It quickly changed, had great 2 years, got to the championship game. I don't expect much more than 8 wins in my mind because of everything that Chris Fetters had noted. But like going out there and just opening up a solid can on Weber State.
Yeah, it's 35-0 at the half.
It's at least something you walk out and you go, all right, well, you know. We're at least humming to that level, and then you go week two, and then you got the Cougs, I think, in week three, and then you kind of get tested because you are restarting, and talent-wise, maybe you are kind of on a similar path right now from a composite rating as Washington State as you try to build this up. So, you know, I think 6-6, you say 7-5, Swag went 8-4, which would be a phenomenal, I think, year one.
Mm-hmm.
It really is just how do they settle in, and what does Fish have ready to go first to get the ground going, because he's recruiting right now at a much higher clip than Kalen DeBoer, plugging back into the high school circuit locally. So It's really just how confident can you feel? And it's just Weber State.
Yes.
But walking out of there, did you win 56-7?
I think for them, I'm most curious about just what their identity looks like on offense. Like, you had Will Rogers, who was really good for a couple of years under Mike Leach at Mississippi State. That was a bit of an air raid system. It's not quite what Jed Fish runs. So what's the translation like there?
Is it Fifita?
Who's right out of the gate?
Who's
their
number one
receiver now? Well, and then you look at two for me in the backfield for them. Jonah Coleman's a stud. He transferred up, one of the few guys that did from Arizona with Jed Fish. Like, that dude's a monster. He's more of a physical downhill runner. So are you going to go more pro style with Will Rogers at quarterback? Do you want to spread him out because he's more comfortable in that kind of system? What their identity looks like to that one Husky fan who texted in, I agree with that completely. It's just with all these new pieces, new faces, new coaches. Curious what it looks like. Final thoughts on the Vancouver Ford Texan. I'm sure everyone is saying quarterback. This is on the Beavers and coach for Oregon State, but my interest and concern is D-line. All gets done at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. The O-line's going to be pretty good, but we lost a lot on the D-line. To your point, the Kelsey Howard injury. Yeah. Highest defensive group we ever got. He's out for the year. Mm-hmm. One more quick one. Pretty conservative Beaver fan here. I want to see a break and break the seemingly lifetime cycle of the Beavers playing down to an opponent. Be consistent in year one. That's all that I ask. No Sacramento State tomorrow. No Sacramento State.
I never really felt like Jonathan did that.
Yeah.
Once he got it going.
Once he got it humming, he didn't.
Yeah.
But there were random losses in week ones. Avoid that tomorrow. We'll all be happy on, not Monday, because we don't have a show Monday, but we will on Tuesday. Your weekend primer for the college football weekend ahead, including a game that is on tonight. We'll spread the line at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on the Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
All right, spreading the line in 10 minutes. Get your fake sponsors in.
We're going 3-0!
503-864-6326. I'll remind you of the records last year. Now, I don't have final records because the last show that I did at the end of football season was for the conference title games, and then my kid was born. So I don't know what our records were for.
That was really
Super Bowls.
We stopped.
And everything. It just kind of stopped.
It wasn't fair for us that you didn't have to pick and that we kept picking. Yeah. It was a very, you timed that very poorly. Why don't you think about the
show? I will think about that next time.
When you pop out a kid in the next like 14 months.
Yes. I'll have him born in September this time and then be back for the end of football season. I'm sure that would go well. Time it out. Non-football babies need to be born, just like weddings need to be happening in the summer.
Summer birthdays are much better.
Much better birthdays. Yeah. As a January birthday, I will vouch, would have much rather had a July or June birthday.
Yep.
Way cooler to have a summer birthday.
And then be held back and be the smartest kid because
exactly.
You're the oldest kid.
And I wouldn't have been the littlest kid, maybe, if I could have been two
I was
years
always
older.
The youngest. I didn't have any issues.
Well, you know.
We don't have enough time for me to go through that with you, but
the psychotherapy of that.
Yeah.
Big weekend of college football. It is here. It is here, boys. We've made it. Tonight, let's take a quick look at your slate. I am going to watch this evening, 4:00 on the Big Ten Network. Your boy, Jonathan Smith's out there milking his nipples in East Lansing.
Yeah, go,
baby! How do you not watch this?
And he is playing Florida Atlantic.
Tom Herman.
Tom Herman, that's
Tom Herman.
Right.
Yeah.
Line in his first game, sub 2 tutties. Only 13-point spread for Michigan State as we get our first look at Aiden Childs as a full-time starter. He said take the over. The over is 44.5.
Well, he's talking about the win total.
Oh, I thought he was betting on just the game on their offense. Okay.
Well, he's not betting. That's illegal.
A little disappointing. I thought Aiden Childs was sprinkling some on the over of 44.5 for tonight's game.
Well, I'd be quaking in my boots if I was old Jonathan because I don't know how year one's going to go. I actually tend to believe they'll be a little better than people think because of Aiden. It's an Aiden bet. He said that comment, and they went and looked, and people did start betting the over for Michigan State.
What is their over? 3.5? 4.5?
I want to say it was...
It's pretty low.
I thought it was 5.5.
Oh, was it 5.5?
I thought so. I could be off on that by a game, but I don't think it's much...
I mean, two of their first three games are against Florida Atlantic and Prairie View, so, you know.
You could be 2-0.
That's
should be two
exciting
wins.
Times down there yes. For the Owls.
I think so.
And it's always exciting.
No. Revamped it. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to find a way to be somewhere in Seattle to watch this game. I want to see what they look like. Are they going to come out and be a little clunky and, hey, here's FAU and Tom Herman? Or are they going to come out there and be like, hey, this offense is pretty damn good, Wade and Childs.
Yeah.
And, handle some business against a quote-unquote lesser opponent. So I'm definitely going to be watching this one.
I will tell you, as a Duck fan who has seen many a coach leave, it is hard to match the enjoyment of hate-watching that first game if they are to lose.
Oh, there's a lot of Beaver fans with probably Florida Atlantic gear. They probably ordered it.
They're ready to go. I want to look up the opponent because I want to remember. Make sure I cite the correct team who I rooted for. I will never forget the year Willie Taggart left and went to Florida State in his first year. I want to say that was 2017.
Oh, and he lost at home to somebody.
They lost at home to...
Isn't like an FCS team of some sort?
It would have been 2018.
Was it Colgate?
2018. No, the first one was... They barely beat Samford in week two.
Samford, that's
36-26.
Right.
They lost 24-3 at home to Virginia Tech. They like couldn't get a first down.
That's right.
And everybody was swag surfing before the game. And I'm just sitting my fat ass in my living room just cackling away watching them lose. So I'm thinking about Beaver fans tonight. As you turn on your first hate watch, other than Sprague, your first hate watch of Jonathan Smith.
You know, people like to celebrate, like, Willie Taggart fails at Florida State. Like, oh, he should have left, dude. I tend to just have the opinion, like, he was going to fail at Oregon. It just was a matter of time.
Yeah, if you couldn't have failed,
We had, like, he was amazing. They were 7-5.
they were.
The coolest thing they did was swag surf. Their offense was middle of the road. Their defense was
Coach that was propped up. That year, too, if you go back and look at that Oregon team, it was good when Justin Herbert played and just like one of the worst Oregon teams I have ever seen without Justin Herbert.
Well, to be a little defensive for old Willie T there, didn't he have Burmeister as
Braxton
an option?
Burmeister was his backup quarterback.
God, he was awful.
Braxton Burmeister, man.
Yeah.
So that is a game that is on tonight. Elsewhere tonight, you do get a look at Oklahoma for the first time, if that does anything for
Temple.
You. They are the ESPN game, so yay, Temple.
Jackson Arnold's interesting to me because he's going to be better than people think. And
he's part of the reason Dylan Gabriel's at Oregon, man. They got a five-star kid that you can't make him sit for 2 years. You got to play him because you don't want him to transfer, and so they're handing the reins over to the young kid.
Him or Rayola for week one, who will be the most impressive five-star starter?
I would go Jackson Arnold probably just because he's got a year of experience under his belt. Mm-hmm. He's been in the offense for a year. I know his offensive coordinator left, took the job at Mississippi State, but just at least the comfort in the system of being around. He played in the bowl game. He actually looked pretty good for them in the bowl game.
Yeah.
So I give them the benefit of the doubt there. Is anybody going to have their eyes on their first ACC after dark game tonight between TCU and Stanford?
I will not because I'll be at Seattle Storm.
If you were at home, would you want to watch this? I might turn it on.
I would flip over after the early games are over. If I was at home, I'd flip over and just see what's
background
going on.
Noise.
I wouldn't watch most of that game.
Yeah.
What about Stanford is exciting?
Nothing really. Now they're out, not even in our conference anymore. That was the only reason to ever watch them in the first place.
God.
Now we don't really
feel bad for our buddy Wilcox.
Care what they need to do down there. So I'm excited. Full slate of college football continues tonight, and Michigan State will be at
it's
four.
Really tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning,
you're going to wake up at 9 a.m.
The Michigan State game to me is one that it's similar where...
Georgia Clemson. Oh, my God.
Like, if Colorado was up 28-0 at the half last night against North Dakota State, not a great game. But the fact that they were trailing at halftime was what made it interesting. That's Michigan State FAU for me tonight.
Really?
Michigan State's down like 17-10 at the half. You get grumbles from the crowd.
Oh, there will be grumbles.
Oh, there's definitely... You can't lose to FAU. You're a Big Ten team. You can't lose to FAU. I don't care how much of a rebuild you're in. Just for that reason of what's the reaction if this doesn't go well, I'm excited to watch that.
He's got a real Riley vibe to him. He's quiet, he's nice, he doesn't have an overly like loud demeanor to him. And when he got hired, I think there was a little bit of like, this is the best we do, the Oregon State guy. And I'll never forget Riley at Nebraska. I think it was week one of year one, lost on a Hail Mary to BYU.
He did.
And it was instant. Why did we do this? Why did we hire this guy? And he ended up having, I still holds their last bowl season. But I do think there's an element of Michigan State fan that it's like, if they have a loss tonight, there's people that are most excited about Jonathan Smith.
Freak out, man. That's what I love about this sport. They will be
early.
Mashing that panic button if they lose to FAU tonight.
I think so, too.
That's why I love it, man.
I don't think...
Yes, that will be East Lansing tonight. And all of Corvallis will be doing this. Just sitting at home loving every second of it, man.
Yeah, they are Oregonians. They will be high as a kite laughing like
yes,
that.
Yes, they will be absolutely giggling. All right, let's break the line. Get your fake sponsors into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. The records start now. Gambling next.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
Sprague in the line.
See, we got here today. We're trying to figure out what lines to use. It's mass chaos behind the scenes.
I think we have it.
I think we figured it out.
Yeah.
A couple quick ones here. Spring Line brought to you by Edgar Martinez Lamp Bobblehead. Still a better return on an investment than a Sprague pick. Spring and Lime brought to you by Deion Sanders. Do you believe? No, but I believe in that more than a Sprague pick. Do you believe now? Spring and Lime brought to you by Dirt's Picks. First win of the season, Georgia Tech to cover and over. Over under 21.5 points. Cha-ching, I guess. I did take Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Last week. Spring and Lime brought to you by the Idaho Vandals. Still a better chance of winning this weekend than a Sprague pick. Spring Line brought to you by Ray Charles. Ray was looking at Sprague's picks this week and doesn't like what he's seeing.
Move on from that.
not a big fan of those lines.
I got some Pepsi into my house yesterday and I just started laughing remembering my Ray Charles thing.
Spring Line brought to you by the real Big Ten. We care about that big-ass Polish hammer.
Yes.
So here we go. These are the final records that I have in my books.
Well, yeah, but it's not really the final.
You don't need to recap.
I was 34-26 at last count.
34-26?
34-26.
You had no ties?
No ties, yeah. No, wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Swag was 29-30-1. And Sprague, you were 25-34-1. And I also have your picks for the AFC title game. You took the Ravens -4 against the Chiefs. You did take the Lions to cover, though, so you would have got that one right.
How did you?
I have the picks to. I was here that week. My son was born on the day of the AFC-NFC title game.
Oh, that's right.
So I did the shows that Friday, and it was that Sunday that he was born.
You know, I almost had it. Had they not had fumble in the end.
You would have 3-0 weekend, man. You would have been climbing back to 500.
Yeah.
So as the past champion, I will start. I have been shamed into picking college games for this weekend. Yeah. I will do it for the first week.
When's the golf going to be?
We got to figure. I'm working on camera angles for September, and Sprague just needs to buy a caddy suit.
There you go.
So we'll pick a Thursday.
It's more
Friday.
The setup than it is the suit. I'm ready to go, willing and ready. I think we need to stop making bets that involve things that are very hard to create.
Well, we got it. What are we risking the biscuit this year on? We got to come up with our.
We got to noodle that over the long weekend.
I mean, I'm very excited for Sprague to caddy for me. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a pretty funny punishment.
I'm pretty excited to caddy. I've always kind of wanted to. I'm not very good.
Throw the smock on, you know, let's go.
Maybe I'm a better caddy than I am a golfer.
It could be. Read my putts, man. What do you think? 7 or 8? What do you like here?
Probably going to go the 7. I've seen you hit.
Club up a little bit. Yeah. Let's be aggressive. Get the ball on the green.
Let's get it there.
So I'm going to start, and I will start with a line that if I was gambling on college football, seriously, I would have bet a while ago because the line has come down. Now, we have centered on using the A-Lin A lines for these games.
Yes.
That is the closest local
closest
book that we can go bet.
You can get to lay a wager on college football.
This line has been near 10.5 at times. It's been 9.5 for most of the fall. It's slowly sneaking down and is down to 7.5, but it's still north of a touchdown, and I will still take it. West Virginia hosts Penn State tomorrow in the Big Nooner. I think West Virginia is a bit of a dark horse team this year in the Big 12. I like their quarterback. I'm not the biggest fan of Drew Aller. It's a tough opening game for Penn State on the road. Early, Morgantown's going to be absolutely blacked out. I will take the Mountaineers. I don't know if they pull off the upset, but I think they keep this thing close. Give me a one-score game, and I will take West Virginia +7.5 tomorrow morning.
I'm going to go the dirt route here. I'm going to start in the National Football League. I'm going to go Friday night, so it's going to be a game that I can get in just in time. I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I think they are the real deal. Holyfield, they're one of the youngest teams. I think the youngest offense. I buy the Jordan Love stuff. I think they're ready to go. I'm going to take the Packers, who are getting points in Brazil, against an Eagle team that certainly has the talent, but a little questionable. And I'm going to take the Packers +2.
+2.
Probably take them on the money line, to be honest with you, but I'll take the +2.
Okay. Swag, pick number one.
Let's see. We'll start with one of the biggest games on the slate for college football, Notre Dame at Texas A&M. I just think Marcus Freeman, he understands how important this game is to his season, because if he gets it, he's probably going to be ranked in the top 10 all season long, if not creeping into the top 5 as the other conferences start into October. Their guys start knocking each other off. They are getting points. First game, new coach, new setting, a lot of expectations at College Station. I just don't think it's going to be clean. I will take three for Notre Dame.
So I want to quickly chime back in. I just looked at the A&A NFL line. It is Packers plus three. So plus I will take plus three all day on that.
Okay. I love that we're always looking for angles.
Well,
all the Connor Stallions of gambling. I love it. Finding our points. What's it on DraftKings? Doesn't matter. Okay. We'll go to A&A.
He's already nervous.
Book,
it's not even week one yet. He's nervous he's
going to
lose.
Defending champions feeling great going into this year. They call me the Kansas City Chiefs around here when it comes to Sprague in the line. Iowa Sick in College for pick number two.
I don't think that's warranted.
Nobody's three-peated in 30 years, but whatever.
Until this year, buddy. I am going to take the under of one of our friends' games this weekend. If there's anything I know about Mario Cristobal, it's that he's allergic to good offense. If there's anything I know about Billy Napier, is that he sucks, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of scoring going on in this game. Tough atmosphere, incredibly hot, guys are going to be cramping. I see this being more of a low-scoring run the ball. Mario's going to run it between the guards 37 times. The over-under number in this game is 54.5. I like the under of 54.5 in Miami and Florida mañana.
I'm also going to take an under. I think we're going to get defense in the game that Swag just mentioned. I'm going to take the under of 46 in Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
Okay.
Hostile environment, week one. Road environment for an offense using helmet communication. And Freeman's a good defensive coach. So I think we're going to get some defense in this one. I'll take the under of 46.
Under of 46. Swag, pick number two.
Going now, it's Big 12 after dark, not Pac-12 after dark. Arizona opening up against a New Mexico team that in week zero blew a 17-point lead to an FCS team in Montana State.
They did.
They have some continuity with guys who were thought to be transferring that stayed up there in Arizona with the new head coach. I will lay the big wood, Arizona minus 31.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The big wood's still in here?
Minus 31 against New Mexico. Shout out Bronco Mendenhall, the head coach at New Mexico. Okay, there's pick number two. Last one for me. I will go to the NFL for next Thursday in the opening game. I wish this line was 2.5. If it was, I'm going to wait and see if it gets there. I would bet Kansas City just because it's Patrick Mahomes, and that's what you do. You bet on Kansas City.
Sure.
Opening game, though, this is kind of a Ken Barkley special, and I know the Chiefs played a little bit of their starters in the preseason. I'm not sure off the top of my head how many snaps the Ravens played, but I just think sometimes we get these clunky offensive games early in the season working off some rust. The total number in this game for the opener next Thursday, 46.5 is your number. I just like, I think it's a 24-20 game, 21-17. I see a little bit more low scoring than that, and I know Lamar Mahomes, that number's probably going to go up as the week goes on, but I will take the under of the opener on Thursday night, Kansas City-Baltimore, the under of 46.5.
Okie dokie. I'm going to go with a huge college tilt this weekend. I'm going composite ranking. I'm going, dude has to show up for this one. Cannot afford to be embarrassed. Georgia is very well the best team in college football.
Oh, you taking Dabo?
However.
You taking Dabo?
Dabo.
We don't need no stinking transfer portal.
Take that, Tyler. Plus 12, Clemson. Against the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow.
He's been really good in his career as a double-digit dog. Now, not many of those games have happened recently, but he's been very good early in his career as a double-digit
dog. You better show
dog.
Up tomorrow. Yeah. I tell you, don't give me some talent excuse. Garrett Riley, Cade Klubnik, get it together, you chumps.
Okay.
Georgia in Atlanta, you better show up. I'll take
Clemson. Speaking of coaches who need to put something in the bank account to keep the seat from getting hotter, Lincoln Riley, Sunday night. In Las Vegas.
I love this pick.
LSU.
I'm all over it.
I'm getting 5 from Alanae for the Trojans. I am taking those.
I think we got an outright Trojan win, buddy. I'm riding that pick with you. Riding that pick with you.
All righty, let's take a look. See here, first official week of Sprague in the Line. The new records will begin in earnest this weekend. I am on West Virginia plus 7.5 against Penn State tomorrow morning, the big nooner. The under of 54.5 between Miami and Florida tomorrow. And the under of Chiefs and Ravens 46.5 next Thursday. Sprague likes the Packers next Friday plus the 3 against Philadelphia. The under of 46 tomorrow in primetime A&M Notre Dame, which will be on 910 ESPN. in Portland.
Ding.
And Clemson plus 12 against Georgia for Dabo to cover. Swag likes the Irish plus 3. He's kind of yinning where everybody's yanging. He's going a lot of people like A&M this weekend. Swag going the other direction.
Yeah, that line's gone up.
Plus the 3. Arizona minus 31 laying the big wood against New Mexico. And then USC on Sunday night plus 5 against LSU.
Now, for all the noise you make about Lincoln, I could just instantly say, well, what has Brian Kelly done?
Yeah.
They're kind of the same thing, right? Like, we very both know similar. They're good coaches. Who's going to break through here and assert themselves?
They were literally identical teams. Like, elite quarterback play, some of the best in the country, but could not put a defense together with a pulse to win anything that
mattered. I think there's more desperation for USC than LSU.
Dude. He's going to Rotary Clubs in Baton Rouge. I don't know about
it. Build the family.
Lincoln's in L.A. Does L.A. strike you as passionately cares the way LSU does?
No. The irony is they both played for a conference championship in their first year. LSU was in the SEC title game.
What coach would you rather have?
Probably Lincoln Riley.
From a personality standpoint or from a X's and O's production standpoint?
No. I don't like either of their personalities, if I'm being honest. Lincoln's kind of a bitch. Cooks a bad meat.
I think I could deal with Lincoln a little easier than
Brian Kelly.
Just don't get up in the high rise. Yeah. Don't go up there. Yeah. They ask you to film anything.
Dude, watch us all go 3-0 this weekend.
It'd be a hell of a start, man.
5-star locks of the week.
Here we go. Beat the books. Breaking the line is back. It feels great. Thanks for the fake sponsors. We'll do it every Friday. We'll track the records and we'll figure out over the weekend what our winner and loser punishment should be by the end of the season. We'll wrap it up. Send you on your way on a Football Friday next on 1080 The Fam. Well, it's back, folks. We made it. The long journey through the dark winter that is known as summer without football. It is over.
Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you.
We have treaded water all summer, and it is here. Week one of the college football season, week one of the NFL season right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be in Eugene tomorrow, man.
Are you?
It's a Duck game day.
Oh.
We're playing a game.
Yeah.
We got games on TV.
Can't wait for all the
radio.
Great information and stats you didn't share on this show to tell Q Newman.
They're going to be great. It's going to be a great show tomorrow. We're live on the air, 12 o'clock, right outside of Autzen Stadium.
There you go.
Come stop by and say hello.
Come say hello to Andy and Dusty.
Come say hello.
And Anthony.
Yes, we will all be there in person, in the flesh. For the opening weekend of the college football season. I am going to, I think, circle on my DVR. So I set my YouTube TV to record every game of college football this year.
How was that quad box last night?
Oh, it was so good.
Swag has no idea.
It was so good. When Oregon plays their first game on that 4K Fox channel. Now, I don't know why Fox is the only 4K channel.
Did you get the 4K package?
Yes.
Oh, you went big. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like an extra $10 a month. And we're splitting it with five different groups paying for it.
Sure.
So I think our cable bill right now is $20 a month, so we're like, yeah, we'll spring for that. We can afford that.
Right.
It's up to $100 a month for five people. When Oregon plays their first 4K Fox game,
I had a full body boner for 2 weeks.
Just forewarning you.
Okay.
That picture was, oh my God.
Yeah?
Oh my God.
It was nice.
I was drooling watching Minnesota and North Carolina miss field goals and turn the football over.
Well, you can do the split screen. They give you the quad option. Update here? We cut the cord yet?
Yeah, you're close, Swag.
You should be doing it this weekend.
What are we waiting on?
Well, I have hops this weekend, so I...
You have no time at
all.
Sounds
like an excuse.
It does.
So, sounds like we're making excuses.
If they don't get their crap figured out,
they're not
going
to get it figured out. They're not going to.
Just cut it. You'll thank us.
I got to research the best internet provider.
Well, I stuck with them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm still with them.
It was them or
Ziply.
Ziply, Fiberly.
I don't know if there's anything else out there. So
that was my only other option.
I will do a little research as to what's going to be the optimum internet Wi-Fi setup.
But like, don't you kind of know?
I don't actually.
What are your options there?
There's a couple other things that are over there too. I want to see if there's actually fiber optic. Like, there's fiber optic lines in the complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to look into that stuff, but it's worth the change. And for Duck and Beaver fans who can't, or Duck and Husky fans, excuse me, who can't watch your team this weekend,
Beavers can. CW.
Beavers can. It's on the CW.
Right. CW
at 3:30 tomorrow.
And with, who knows that?
Is Tom Brenneman
making his debut?
Yeah, Tom Brenneman's calling the game tomorrow.
He is.
That's confirmed. It's him, Ryan Leaf, and Nigel Burton, I believe, is your broadcast crew.
So you're sure it's a three-man booth?
Nearly certain.
Okay. Do they have a sideline reporter?
I believe so. I can't remember who the sideline reporter is. And I don't know who's calling the Coug game. I don't know who they put on the Coug game. But
Ted Robinson.
I think in the Kerry Agers piece that he did on Tom Brenneman,
Agers did a piece on Tom
Brenneman. On Tom Brenneman, and his first game will be the Oregon State-Idaho State game. Saturday afternoon, 3:30.
I'm seriously asking a question here. Does he open with, like, anything? Or is he just like, Tom Brenneman and Yogi Roth?
I wouldn't. There's nothing,
Ryan Leaf.
Nothing to be gained from it.
Okay.
What if during his introductory press conference, he drops a Nick Castellanos reference? There's a deep drive to left.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
It's a 4-0 game. I don't know if I'm putting on this headset again.
He hit a homer last night.
He did.
Bravos in the seventh.
Did he? Yes. Did anything big in the world happen yesterday, or was it just a random Castellanos home run?
I thought he hit two.
Well, I know, but the go-ahead was in the seventh.
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts. What is our lead topic on Monday's show?
Tuesday's show. Man, the Beavers might beat Oregon.
Okay. Swag.
In all seriousness?
Yeah.
Is Dabo back?
There you go.
Is Dabo on the way out?
That's not a bad one either. I think mine is, how overrated is James Franklin? The same segment we do every, like, 3 months during the football season.
Could also be, how does Notre Dame get into the playoff after losing in week one?
The power of the Irish, man. That will do it, folks. Have a great first football weekend. Enjoy Labor Day. We were not here on Monday.
We finally get Labor Day off.
We've been arguing for it for 10 years, and we have finally won the argument.
Yeah.
So we have a 3-day weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday. I'll be down in Eugene tomorrow. Pre-game show starts at noon. If you're driving down, listen to the game. If you're driving down as a Beaver fan and you just want to hear my sexy voice, tune on in. And it'll be on from noon to 2:30. Enjoy the football. We will talk to you Tuesday at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.